Chapter 17. Moritat. Visions of darkness assailed Fedan Pex. Flights of black birds wheeled over battlefields where nothing moved except carrion feeders. Bodies lay in heaps, impaled on their own weapons. Smoke blew from fires across the land, harried by strong winds round the rims of blood-soaked hollows, and caressed the faces of the dead. The arms and armour of the combatants altered without warning. One moment they bore fanciful, archaic stuff, beaten metal draped in cloth of bright heraldries, soaked in the uniform crimson of blood. Swords lay by nerveless hands. Dead steeds lay atop their slaughtered masters. Then the scene would change, and the warriors would be legionaries of the Raven Guard, lying under a dry alien sky, their armour riven by bolt shells, their hands clasped about each other's throats in poses of mutual fratricide. Pex saw this from above sometimes. Other times he wandered the landscapes of his torment physically, clad in robes as grey as ash, feet dragging in gory mud, hands wringing, for he could do nothing to help those who had died, and was persecuted by feelings that there was something he could have done to stop it, if only he had acted sooner. What this averting action was, however, he did not know, and that only deepened his woe. Guilt raked him with dirty claws. Mingled with these feelings were those of frustrated aggression. He resented not being present at the fight. He hungered to blood himself, as the dead warriors had, to drive out the feelings of helplessness and impending doom with battle fury. These feelings gripped him, toyed with him, and cast him back into misery. When he did not wander the battlefield, he roamed a dreary wood of grey mists and leafless branches, or a desert of bones, or a city where wan faces peered accusingly from unglazed windows. When he emerged from the recesses of his own mind, he faced the total blackness of his cell. A space marine required a fraction of the light an unmodified human did to see clearly, but there was none at all in the cell. It was so perfectly proof against any intrusion of light that he could have been buried far beneath the surface of a lightless world. He sometimes fancied he was, until the throbbing of ships' engines and sporadic distant noises of menials at work assured him he was not. In the darkness, he could not tell if his eyes were open or closed. He could not tell if he was dreaming or asleep. In time, the dark became populated by horrors of its own, and these blended with the visions he experienced in his mind's eye, until the two were indistinguishable. Pex had not known it was possible to feel so utterly dejected. If the imperial truth did not deny its existence, he would have said his soul had been plucked from his body and dipped in a stinking tar rendered from the worst sins imaginable. The sound of his own breathing became raw. He thought he might have turned into something less than human. Perhaps he had. A time after Pex had been incarcerated, how long was impossible to gauge, the door lock clunked. The faint blue light from the cell block corridor outside was dazzling, though it was no brighter than the first smudge of dawn. Agapito stepped into the room. Pex recognized his scent.
"How are you keeping, brother?"
Pex shifted. His manacles clanked. He laughed at the question.
"Badly," he said. "I'm left in here with my horrors. It is not a pleasant way to spend my time."
"That is to be expected," said Agapito sympathetically. Both of them were boy soldiers in Korax's rebellion. They had lived lives in cells like this, before the Emperor lifted them up to the stars. They had fought to prevent others having the same life. Now Pex was back where they had started, locked up in the dark.
"This is an unpleasant place," Agapito said. "I'm supposed to write this out, see it through to the end. If I am to recover, first I must suffer. It's almost religious."
Pex closed his eyes and rested his head back against the wall.
"I do not think it is working."
He shook his head. His hair had been shaved down to skin when he came in. Now the bristles rasped against the rough metal. I never thought I would fall to the sable brand. I did not think I had the temperament.
It is not to do with temperament.
Well, then, said Pex miserably. I'm sorry, Captain, but I'm not much in the mood for talking. If you have something to say to me, I would be grateful if you could say it and then leave. He smiled grimly to himself. Unless you've come to let me out, in which case I shall come with you.
There is a chance of that, said Agapito.
Pex sat forward. He turned to look at his captain and narrowed his eyes against the light. Dim blue lit Agapito's face like a moon in half eclipse.
I'm not recovered, he said.
You're not. But there is another way.
Shadow killers, said Pex. He lifted his hands, making his chains chink.
It's come to the Moritat, then.
Serving with them might help you, said Agapito.
It might not.
Kill or cure, said Pex. It is a shameful assignment.
No longer. They have a new name, a new purpose.
But still no honor, said Pex.
Did you hear what happened? Asked Agapito.
Some, said Pex. An apothecary comes in every 2 days to feed and assess me. He talks. He says it helps to talk between bouts of isolation. That to shift from one state to another can jar the mind out of this blasted introspection.
Vicente Six, said Agapito. I have spoken with him.
About my condition, Pex thought. Neither of them said so.
Do you know about Agath?
I do. The animophage. What he did was terrible. Worse than what I see in the visions.
I'm sorry it happened. It's a shame he escaped.
We have found him, though it has taken precious time.
Pex sensed unhappiness in Agapito. The sable brand had sharpened his intuition. He didn't detect Agapito's mental state through the usual cues of facial expression or vocal tone. Agapito hid his emotions well, but somehow he knew that he was unhappy. It was disturbing.
How long?
He asked.
The search took weeks, said Agapito. And there were some questionable methods used to locate him.
Such as, said Pex.
Agapito would not be drawn.
Agath has escaped to an outpost hidden within the upper reaches of the star's corona, Agapito said. The Moritat are to be sent in to disable it.
You are here to offer me the chance to join them.
They are killers.
Mind damaged. The worst of the Legion. That is true. Many of them are recidivists. But some of them, though, are sable brand like you. And some of those who have recovered in the past did so through service in that dark brotherhood.
Is it an order that I join them, Captain? Asked Pex.
No order, but an offer. If you want my opinion, you should do it. More sable brand come through their trial by fighting than by sitting in these places and staring darkness in the face.
A poetic way of saying going raving mad and tearing your own body apart, said Pex.
Granted, said Agapito.
I will do it, of course.
I thought you would say that.
Agapito pressed a button on a small box hanging from his waist. Pex's manacles snapped open. His head spun when he stood. He'd been sitting down for a long time.
When do we go?
Pex asked.
Right now,
said Agapito. The heat from the sun scorched them. Behind a meter of ceramite and ablative materials, they could still feel it. Agath Station was located on the edge of the star's atmosphere, where the heat was measured in the millions of degrees. How Agath had constructed his hideout there was a source of debate among the Legion. Perhaps it dated from the times before, when man's science was greater. However it was done, it had been made, this keep protected by wards of fire. The station hung over boiling plasma. No void ship could fly so close to the sun. Munitions would detonate. Solid mass projectiles would evaporate. Laser and particle weapons would see their beams sent awry by the magnetic fields flexing around the star. Finding the station had been a feat in itself. In the end, the information was gathered from captives taken by snatch squads from the cities most closely aligned with Zenith 312. Agarth no doubt felt safe where he was, but nobody was beyond the reach of the Raven Guard. Launched from the tubes of the Tenebrus, the Moritat coasted towards the sun in boarding torpedoes. Only a madman would fly so near to a star. The Moritat had enough madness to spare. The Moritat in front of Pex slammed his head repeatedly against his restraints. The rhythm of ceramite on plasteel increased tempo with each strike, then slowed, then sped up again. The warrior behind him chuckled darkly.
Doro is at it again. He is at it again, he growled.
Despair lurked behind his laughter.
Banging his head.
The remaining two were mercifully silent. Here were the Legion's misfits, the criminally minded who had slipped through recruitment screening, murderers from erstwhile Lysaeus who had taken to bad ways again, men whose humours were unbalanced by implant malfunction, and among them those who had fallen to the Sable brand, Korax's genetic curse. Some space marines enjoyed ranging alone without Brotherhood. It left them free to murder in the dark unobserved. They requested the assignment. Pex wished to meet that sort least of all. He imagined them all around him, waiting for him to fail so they could condemn him and kill him out of the sight of justice. Black avians cawed in Pex's imagination. A pitiless well of misery bubbled over in his head, polluting his psyche. Intellectually, he stood back from it, appalled at the effect his affliction had upon his spirits. But though he could attempt to remain detached, darkness laced his thoughts, so that his being became worthless rock, and the misery, the veins of precious ore, fate wished to drill out of him, obliterating his mind in the process. He remembered sadness from his life before. When he was a boy, there had been a plenitude of despair available to sample in the prison of Lysaeus. But what he endured now was something new. So concentrated, no amount of mental effort could overcome it. It did not matter, he told himself.
I could be dead in a moment.
Boarding torpedoes had the highest chance of making the journey to the solar outpost. They were easy to hide in the chaotic torrents of radiation around the sun, but their survivability, more than stealth, forced their choice. The prow baffling the torpedoes carried to shield them from the emissions of their melter arrays presented some protection from the sun. Even then, the angle of insertion had to be precise. The prows had to be dead on to the star, or the torpedoes would melt like sticks of sealing wax. As much additional shielding as the torpedoes could carry had been hastily added to their sides for the mission. It made little difference. Pex felt the star's endless burning through the wadding of the ceramite panels, as if he were stood on the equator of a desert world. His armor pack whirred with cooling activity. Soft runes blinked every 20 seconds on his helmplate display to remind him of the environmental dangers. The configuration was new to him. Moritat war gear was different to that of ordinary troopers. They used the smallest size of torpedo, 5-man infiltration tubes. An argument could be made that the 28-strong Moritat force could spread out more effectively that way. But in reality, it was about minimizing losses. Moritat were suicide troops, the duty given out of scorn or as a chance at redemption. They were not expected to survive. Those that made the crossing would have to fight their way through Agarth's Zenith Guard to the mission targets. Once the station was disabled, they had to find their own way off. Mission parameters were defined with their escape as an optional objective, as the briefing euphemistically put it. Moritat was a young name for an old punishment. Pex thought it fitting. Through all this rumination, he felt no regret. From the coldly rational part of himself, he saw the horror of his condition was not born of fear of death, but a hopelessness that his death would mean nothing. This small realization gave him a foothold on sanity, and for a time the visions and the anguish abated. He was a warrior again, sealed in his little world of ceramite, waiting for a worthy battle to commence. He let his body go loose within his armour, let the vibration of the torpedo's engine lull him into a state halfway back from madness. Retro thrusters burst. Pecks slammed into the restraint cage as their ship decelerated rapidly. There came the roar of melter arrays and the greater impact of a torpedo on its target. Pecks were thrown about hard by the shuddering penetration into the outpost. They came to a violent halt. The door exploded outwards, the harnesses detached, and before Pecks knew what he was doing, he was in a brightly lit corridor where the sharp smell of the void mingled with ferrofoam sealant and hot metal. The twin Volkite Serpentas he held in his hands came online of their own accord, their paired plasma feeds snaking from his backpack warmed. The suit possessed a sophisticated targeting array. It too activated without his input, flooding his helm plate with a welter of information. The bright icons superimposed over his vision competed with the wheeling black birds infesting his imagination. Neither would let him be. A few moments after that, he was killing again. Agarth had protected himself well. Automated defense points guarded the station's corridors. Every part of its interior was covered by Picta units and more esoteric sensors. Combat servitors supplemented the fixed defenses. Pecks encountered these first, blasting them apart before they could open fire on him. Their places were taken by Zenith Guard. The warriors garrisoning the station were in elite formation. They wore armor decorated with bold emblems in blue and red, and carried weaponry of more advanced make than their now-dead counterparts aboard the home moonlet. Often the prime units of autocracies were elite only in name, good at terrorizing civilians and marching in formation, but their vaunted abilities proved lacking when tested in combat. Pex reflected that it was the soldiers defending popular governments, or with a strong national ethic, that fought the best. Rarely did the tools of oppression make a good show on the battlefield. Agarth's men were better than most, but not as good as some. Almost elite, he thought, as he advanced into a storm of fire. Flechettes ricocheted from his suit's reinforced front. Double hits from his paired Volkites turned a man to meat-scented steam. Two of the dead soldiers' companions broke and ran. The cowardice they displayed and the bravery of the men that stayed behind were not characteristics of brainwashed warriors. At some level, then, they had made the decision to come here freely and let their families die, thought Pex. He slew those that had stood their ground. Their guns rattled on full automatic. Needle projectiles skipped off the curved surfaces of his Moritat armor, suddenly ceasing with the firer's deaths. The Moritat suit was a modification of Crusade pattern armor. It was slow, but more heavily armored than standard plate, ideal for warriors expected to weather the attentions of the enemy alone, and forged to allow them to do as much damage as they could before they were slain. Enhanced auto-senses gave Pex a superior situational awareness. Pex thought these and other things to keep his mind occupied and the visions at bay. When he let himself slip into the fugue of combat, he was alarmed to find his inner horrors impinging on the outside world. The ghosts of screams that he at first took for genuine haunted his vox pickup. And once, when he killed an officer of Agarth's men, his chest exploded with cawing black birds instead of gore. He addressed the nature of the sights rationally to distract himself. Was the Legion's iconography influencing these hallucinations, or something else? Would a Zerik tribesman's hallucinations be different to the visions of a Lycaean? Pex's guns vented superheated steam as he strode into a three-way junction, arranged like a horizontal Y. Tarry residue and body parts marked the deaths of 13 guards. The remainder were falling back under the cover of smoke and blind grenades towards the station center. A wall of chemical smoke and electrical arcing half hid them from his suit's systems. They were retreating to protect their master. Pex let them go. A bullet would not end Agarth's life. A swipe of his hand knocked flechettes tinkling from his chest. He took the leftmost passageway towards his target. The fleeing Zenith Guard were too terrified to notice he was not following them. Successive flights of stairs and short landings took Pex out from the centre of the station. A thumbnail cartilith hanging by his right eye told him exactly where he was, but he would have known he was getting further out without it, for the temperature rose half a degree with every 50 meters he walked closer to the station's edge. Occasional sounds of fighting echoed down the corridors. Soon after insertion, the Moritats had broken apart from one another. They fought alone in the main. Pex was grateful of that. The misery of the Sable brand was compounded by his new status. He did not wish to share. His helm chimed. He was near his target. A wall-mounted sentry gun swiveled towards him. He blasted it apart and strode past the sparking mess. The temperature increase quickened. Half a degree for every 10 meters now. There was a door set in the wall to his right. The passages were narrow down there to save space, though still tall to accommodate the Carinian's attenuated form. He turned awkwardly. The Volkite attached to his right hand swiveled aside to allow him to grasp an annular twist switch set into the wall. The mechanism was designed for the long fingers of a low-G-born human, and his gauntleted hand would not fit. He poked at it with two fingers until he got it to turn. The door clunked back and rolled aside. Higher pressure air blasted out of the room behind. It was searing and stale. The chamber was not connected to the main ventilation system. A platform ran around the inner three walls of a two-story room, looking down onto large, humming mechanisms. A ruby energy field made the fourth wall, cutting in at a steep angle and wrapping itself around the machinery below. Past the shield, a long radiation deflector vane extended into space. The magnetic field it projected sizzled with artificial auroras. Beyond, the sun walled space away. The star was too close to give any sense of its spherical nature, and appeared as a flat sheet of bubbling fire. It lit the room deep orange. There were no lumens. His Volkite charge cells cast odd blue highlights onto the angles of the walls. Pex slipped gratefully into the bloody shadows. The energy field was an atmospheric retainer combined with thermal shielding, but still the room burned with a furnace broil. The workings of Pex's suit hit a fever pitch to keep him from cooking inside his armor. Where the cooler air of the corridor seeped into the room, a furious thermocline shimmered. The room had the feel of a place men did not often go. Pex walked over to the single control console, situated at the center of the platform facing the sun. Its instruments were dark, save a few bright red lights. Gauges twitched like fitful dreamers. He stared at them. His vox beads hissed in his ears. Rarely had he been so alone as then. He welcomed the solitude. The sun blazed invitingly at him, coaxing him to step to the edge of the chamber, clamber over the machines and leap out into the void and the fires there. He would cease to be. The ravens clamoring in his skull would be consumed with him. He would be free. No more war, no more killing. One easy death and it would all be done. He took a step forward. A hand appeared from nowhere to grasp at his elbow.
Do not give in to the Sable brand.
A Moritat stood where there had been nobody. Pex's right hand whipped up to press its gun against the warrior's left eye lens. He did not move.
Either by killing me or yourself, added the warrior.
His armor lacked any form of identification, being as black and glossy all over as a raven's feathers. Pex deactivated the gun and brought it away.
A Moritat Shadowmaster. You are truly one with all the gifts, said Pex sardonically. Making light, said the Shadow Master. That is good. You may survive your affliction. You are an expert on this condition.
I am as expert as anyone can claim to be, said the Shadow Master.
Pex experienced mixed emotions. Relief that he may get better, a fresh tide of horror that it could happen again.
Sometimes we must face what we are, lest we go mad, said the warrior. Who are you? asked Pex. I'm a friend. I'm your brother.
Pex pulled away. The warrior's hand slid from his arm. He turned back to the consul. He looked to his new companion.
I would withdraw. As soon as I deactivate this machinery, we will be exposed to the full force of this star.
I'm staying here, said the Shadow Master, with a note of sad humour.
To make sure you do not remain.
As you wish, said Pex.
The machinery was simple enough to work. He turned off the radiation vane, then the stubby gravitic stabilizers ranged along the hull in its shelter. An alarm barked at him. Lights flashed, their output feeble in the face of the sun. His finger hovered over the field cutout button.
Deactivate it, then follow me, said the Shadow Master. If you're quick, you will survive.
Pex's finger stabbed down decisively. The field blinked out. Air gusted out explosively. The raw power of the sun hit him like a blow. His suit let out so many warnings it sounded like it was screaming. The temperature indicator went from low amber to the very extreme of its grade range in an eye blink. Ceramite plates creaked with sudden expansion.
Out now, said the Shadow Master.
He grabbed Pex and hustled him from the room. Machinery exploded behind them. Alarms whooped. Fires caught on insulated wires. Pex was thrust into the narrow corridor. His armor steamed with evaporating paint, though it did not change color. The metallo-ceramic beneath had been scorched as black as his livery. The Shadow Master made to shut the door. Pex held up his hand.
Wait!
He shouted over the howl of escaping air. He loosed a shot into the room, blasting apart the control console.
Just in case, he said. Close it now.
The Shadow Master twisted the door lock. It banged shut. The decompression gale ceased.
We must be away, said the Shadow Master.
The wall of the corridor was beginning to glow.
This place will be unsafe in a few minutes.
Pex nodded. His armor was cooling but still hot. The smell of singed body glove tickled his nostrils. They set out back the way they had come. Panicked shouts came at them down the stairs in the corridor ahead.
It looks like we will have to fight our way up, said Pex. That's not necessarily a bad thing for one in your condition, said the Shadow Master.
They fought side by side for the rest of the mission. Pex did not ask the Shadow Master his name, and the Shadow Master did not offer it. The station shook with explosions as other key targets were destroyed or disabled. Subtle movements told them the outpost was being pulled from its orbit by the star. They did not have long to escape, but no order to withdraw came. Knowing they were doomed, Agarth's guard fought desperately. Few of them fled anymore. They had nowhere to go. More of the Moritat died, joining those who had failed to complete the journey from the Tenebrous. The Shadow Master wielded a one-handed cyclocannon. Its fusillades passed through their targets as if they were wet paper, riddling the walls with holes. Gas and water sprayed from ruptured lines. Fires burned wherever they passed. They walked undaunted into the worst of enemy weapons fire, the Shadow Master using his uncanny abilities to stalk ahead, while Pex acted as decoy. Hundreds fell to them.
They are surprisingly numerous, said Pex. Agarth has worked out what we are doing and has released the full force of his army to hunt us down. It's too late for that now.
Among the troops were frightened technicians being hustled to undo the damage caused by the Moritat. Pex and the Shadow Master killed them without compunction.
The station is beyond repair, said the Shadow Master, as he mowed down a group of men with his cannon.
Their flechettes bounced from his battle plate.
But we must not give them the opportunity to try. You do not need to explain. I have 30 years combat experience, said Pex, annoyed at the warrior's tone. I fought with Korax for deliverance. Are you saying I do not have experience, or did not fight in the liberation?
I'm saying I do not need you to explain the craft of war to me, said Pex, punctuating his words with shots from his Volkites.
The weapons were superb, keeping up a high rate of fire without overheating.
I believe you may be experiencing remission. Do you always talk so much?
Pex lobbed a shroud grenade down the corridor. Zenith Guard stumbled out of the smoke to be gunned down by the Shadow Master.
I do,
laughed the Shadow Master.
A regrettable characteristic for one such as you, said Pex. Maybe, said the Shadow Master.
They gained the third of the circular corridors running around the station. No place was untouched by the Moritat. Emergency lumens took over the roles of damaged lighting systems. Smoke ran along the ceilings in serpentine torrents. The walls were ragged and spitting sparks. Fires burned. Systems failed everywhere. A widecast vox message called for attention. Pex listened.
Fall back to the primary hangar bay.
The speaker was a murderer named Cades Nex, drafted in from the 14th Company to serve as leader for the Moritat strike force, as much as the Moritat could be said to be led by anybody.
Our mission is accomplished. Secure means of transit, leave one ship intact, destroy the rest.
Like flocking birds, the Moritat reached the furthest extent of their flight, turned back, and headed to rejoin their fellows. Pandemonium reigned in the hangar approach tunnels. The Carinaeans were converging on the hangar as the retinues of differing lords sought to secure transit off the station before it fell into the sun. Elements of the Zenith Guard fought each other, as well as the Raven Guard Moritat, in their desire to escape. Pex and the Shadowmaster approached a major way choked with corpses. There were a few lordly Carinaeans among the dead, their complicated headgear and their beads marking them for what they were. Pex stopped by one. His red robes were stained crimson by his blood. His finely boned face bled white. He lay surrounded by the bodies of his soldiers. Bolt guns had finished them all.
In death we are all made the same, he said to the corpse. Lacking motion and determination, all deeds are done. When we are dead, the only distinction we have is that which we did in life.
Then he died poorly, said the Shadowmaster.
Come. You're leaving. They made their way to the edge of their target. There was only one hangar, but it was extensive in size. Bolt fire rattled around its maintenance and landing bays. Four or five shuttles housed there burned. They were impressive machines, larger than a Legion gunship, with a transport capacity close to that of an Imperial Army dropship. Weapons blisters studded the hull and the stubby wings. The Legion had made short work of them. The sole remaining vessel was sheathed by the soapy glimmer of energy shields. Three Moritat fired a variety of weapons from the open ramp. Dead Zenith Guard carpeted the floor. More came into the hangar to replace those who had died, taking up positions of cover and the higher ground to fire at the Space Marines. They were becoming desperate, pushing on where before they would have held back. They traded mag-impelled flechettes with bolts. The bolts had the higher worth in terms of death. Pex and his companion crept up to an ingress point, one of the many around the hangar periphery, and shot down a squad sheltering behind a loading rig a few metres from their position. He'd hit three, he thought. The Shadowmaster murdered the rest, his cycler cannon blasting seven men into chunks that fell down upon the deck to leak copious blood.
Raven Guard board enemy craft, we depart immediately.
Nex again. His cold voice contained no capacity for mercy. Anybody not on the ship when it was due to depart would be left behind. He would not wait.
Now,
said Pex to his nameless friend. He sprinted across the open ground between transport and hangar door without looking to see if the Shadowmaster followed. Flechettes thudded into him from several directions. A few pierced his ceramite with the accuracy of a torturer's needles, skewering vital systems. Gas whistled from the holes. Systems warnings blinked red across his faceplate. The power feed to his left leg became patchy. Nine Moritat converged on the hangar. In all likelihood, no more remained alive, announcing themselves with data bursts for their comrades and a plethora of technological death for their foes. They dashed from every direction towards the shuttle. According to Pex's display, 13 had made it through the journey and the mission. A 46% survival rate set against all mission goals accomplished. For most other branches of the Legion, the figure would have been cause for punitive action against the commanders. For the Moritat, it was a solid success. Pex ran up the ramp of the shuttle. Its engines were firing as he limped aboard, his armour grinding, his dragging foot kicking aside delicate metal meadowlands of embedded flechettes. Hands pulled him further within the craft. It shook with the force of its primitive motive units. The remainder of the Moritat ran in. They abandoned all caution and entered the ship with their backpacks studded with glittering needles, their systems venting gas. Pex glimpsed the warrior he had shared the battle with, already aboard somehow, and raised a hand. The Mor Dathan, dipped his head, then sank into the shadows of a bulkhead, like a black rock disappearing into oil. Something struck Pex as wrong about that. With a sense of building dread, he went over to the place the Shadow Master had been. There was no one there. "Brother," he said to another raven guard who sat upon the bench, "do you know the warrior who was here?" he asked. The man's helm tilted up at him.
"What warrior?"
he said.
"We go now," said Nex over the vox.
The roar of engines killed Pex's questions. No more Moritat were in the hangar. The three covering the ramp turned and came inside. The Zenith Guard abandoned their positions and ran at the ship, firing recklessly until the hull weapons of the shuttle opened up and rent them into particles. Pex's last sight of the hangar was a man vanishing in a flash of dispersing energy. Then the ramp closed and the ship nosed up. There was a momentary pause as it swung about face and blew out the hangar doors. Then a spike in temperature and the sickening feeling of sudden exposure to a high gravity field. The ship whined piteously as its Moritat hijackers bullied it away from the sun, the temperature climbing to deadly heights. Suddenly, they were in the shadow of the dying station and clear, accelerating fast. No weapons fire troubled them. Pex was exhausted, but at peace. The gnawing sense of doom had left him. His pessimism was gone. He wondered if the Shadow Master was real, or if he was a manifestation of the Sable brand. Either way, he offered the warrior silent thanks. Without him, he would be dead by his own hand. Pex rested his head against the inner wall of the transport bay hull, and let the shaking of the craft lull him into sleep. No ravens darkened his dreams.